On this week's show, things get a bit trippy as Adam Nickerson joins us to talk about his neon-infused arcade romp, Ding Dong XL. And we will really try to keep the dick jokes to a minimum, but we cannot make any promises. Cadence of Hyrule may be ready to hit the dance floor sooner than you think, and it looks like it's lights out for a dark room. And finally, the hype zone is groovy. Well, sort of. This is Nintendo Dual Screens episode 97 for the week of May 6th. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens episode 97, hot 97, for the week of May 6th, 2019. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, is my partner in crime. He is the other half of the dual screen. He is my best friend. He is Andy Asimakis, and he is coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. How are you, Andy?
Yes, if I sound like shit, I do apologize. And also, you put the date in the intro now. I didn't approve that. That's a new thing.
I don't know. You didn't write it at the end of the cold open. So
I didn't.
I had to get it from somewhere. I panicked, Andy. I panicked. And with us, as I alluded to in that beautiful cold open that Andy wrote for me, like he does every single week, is Adam Nickerson. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing all right. How are you, folks?
Oh man, I'm excited to have you here. Ever since Ding Dong XL was forced to buy it by Jared Petty, just yelling at me over many a podcast. Jumped in on it, glad to see it's on the Nintendo Switch, and I knew as soon as this game came out, Andy made fun of it. All right, he was like, "Ding Dong XL, poof, poff," and I'm like, no, dude, it's a really good game. I've had it on my phone forever. I got the little kind of funny logos. It's really simple, but it's fun. I suck at it. I barely get 100 points, but I love it. You should really check it out. And then, lo and behold, here you are here on the show.
Yeah, that's usually the way it goes. People accidentally get into it, and all their friends make fun of them and are like, "What the hell are you doing playing a game called Ding Dong?"
People ask me all the time, why the hell is it called Ding Dong XL, whatever. And I'm like, I think it might be the noise it makes, because it kind of sounds like a doorbell going ding, dong, ding, as you're going back and forth. But that we'll get into that at the lead story, Adam. We're going to get all the deets. We're going to get all the dirty, dirty details of this very simple yet addictive arcade video game, which is now available on the Nintendo Switch. For those of you who are new here to Nintendo Dual Screens podcast, as Adam is, this is a show where Andy and I and an industry guest will go over the Nintendo news that you absolutely need to know about, with a special focus on the nindies that deserve your love. And we'll have an open discussion about Nintendo and those nindies, past, present, and future. I rewrote that a little bit. I'm trying to get nindies more in the spotlight, Andy. I'm gonna rework it.
Yeah, you did. I'm like, you're just doing all things your own way. I don't like it at all.
So here's the thing, Andy. Here's the thing. You weren't meant to use this template. This was meant for the post 100 episode 100. I was gonna make some changes. I didn't name it episode 97. I named it actually template, but you named it
96. You copied the last week's show. So I was like, okay, he's doing his own thing now. So
no, it wasn't on purpose.
Whatever.
It wasn't on purpose. Anyway, Nintendo Dual Screens posts it posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. You can catch all sorts of bonus content from our pre and post shows to user voted topical shows by supporting us on Patreon. You can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Alex Gonzalez and Gavin McCrinn. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We cannot continue to grow without your support. So please, folks, head over to patreon.com/NDS podcast and consider backing us for as little as $1. You get something.
And if not, If not, you can buy Ding Dong XL for a dollar.
That's true. So there is proof.
Support the podcast or buy Ding Dong XL.
There is proof that you could do better with a dollar. You could definitely do better with a dollar, and Ding Dong XL is proof of that. Remember, you could be a part of the show by emailing us your questions, comments, and concerns to feedback@ndspodcast.com. That's feedback@ndspodcast.com. Now, before we get into this week's lead story, which is all about that big old Ding Dong, and before we get into the Nintendo news report, let's talk about what we should be playing. Let's talk the Nindies now. That was going to be the new name of the segment, because most of the time it's a Nindy. But let's talk about what we should be playing. So Andy, I know you had spoiled it in our pre-show, but that's okay. So why don't you tell us what people should be playing on your specifically now on your Nintendo Switch?
The old Cuphead.
Yeah, you had,
oh, yeah.
He had a religious Cuphead experience this weekend.
Yeah, you know, on those long lines, for those who didn't hear the pre-show, I was in Texas for a horror convention, waiting to get my shit autographed by Freddy Krueger, and played out of Cuphead, waiting on a four-hour line, and the magic is still there. It's still incredible. Kicks my ass. I think less so than when I played on Steam originally, but those Joy-Cons, man, nope. Don't like it. don't like with them goddamn Joy-Cons.
Yeah, I was having a lot of difficulty with Cuphead. I don't know if it was specifically because of the Joy-Con, because I was playing it handheld. I just don't like the layout. It just doesn't seem like dodge or whatever it is, or I guess it's dodge. I don't know.
Dash?
The dash, that's what it is. I don't like that dash is all the way above. Like, I should be able to press the two main buttons that I need with one, like with my thumb. I don't know.
Dash should be a shoulder button.
Right,
sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Like dash and shoot should be a shoulder button, I think.
I remember exactly that. I haven't played it on the Switch yet, but I remember exactly that control problem back when it first came out, that I was like, man, something's off here. Something about the default bindings was just off.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely so. What I've noticed is that it works really well if you put the Switch down flat and you play it like you're playing with a fight stick. Like it works really well as like you're playing with an arcade stick. Like that, it makes sense because you're just like tapping the buttons or whatever. But yeah, it is not. I don't know. I've been playing around with the button mapping to just get that to feel just right. But
that aside, even like the Joy-Con's little analog nub isn't the most responsive or precise instrument.
Sure.
And that game demands accuracy. And I was like, son of a bitch.
That game demands padded walls. I can tell you that. I still have not gotten past the first level.
Yeah, oh my god.
That's a you problem. You're just terrible at video games.
No, to be fair, I gave up.
It's not that bad.
To be fair, I gave up. I had other things to move on to. But Adam, why don't you tell us what we should be playing?
Well, to be honest, I'd like to make a quick mention to a game I have been playing called Islanders, but I'm just hoping it's coming to Switch soon.
Mm.
But if you haven't checked it out, check it out wherever you can find it. But let's talk Switch, and Switch and Shoot is a awesome one button game that is on the Nintendo Switch. I think it's $3 if I remember correctly.
I'm going to look it up right now.
It is a shoot 'em up, and all you do is control a small ship in the bottom of the screen with a random name every time, and you press a single button, and your ship will shoot, but also change direction left or right at the same time. So you're always moving, and the moment you push shoot, you shoot a bullet up towards enemies coming down at you and move in the other direction. It is incredibly fast-paced, incredibly my taste, with the one button fast paced action, and so easy to pick up and play.
Turns out the word Switch is a terrible search word.
Switch N shoot. So it makes it even more difficult.
Yeah.
It's by a developer named Matt Glanville, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, this looks very Andy game, Steve. I see little pixels.
You seeing them pixels?
Let's see little pixels.
Switch and shoot. There it is. I found it.
I'm into it.
Oh.
It's like mother brain looking Metroid thing in the bubble situation going on.
Okay, I see what we're doing here. This
might be our next guest. Who knows?
Who knows? You never know.
Those. Yeah, it's a fun game. It's another one of those, kind of the way I make games, but I'd say it's even cooler than all my games. It is just fun to play. It's got really great little effects, and anytime I just pick up my Switch randomly, I can hop into a round real quick and then move on to whatever I was doing.
We'll do a theme for the month of May, Steven. Just one button games only.
Yes. Wow. Well, Adam could be on. That's like his
one
thing.
Down, three to go.
That's like Adam's thing, so he could probably fill the whole month, really.
We'll do all of Adam's games for the month of May. And back
Bing bong, ding dong.
Adam for the third time.
Oh, man. All right, so I started up for briefly, and I'm intrigued by it so far. I don't want to say you should all be playing it, but it's definitely something I have been playing. I've been putting some time on the Switch, and that's Reverse Crawl, which is a tactics-like RPG. It's tongue-in-cheek humor. It's very cute. It does have a little bit of that, I want to say like that it's got like a cheap look to it at first glance, but once you see the systems that are underneath, it's pretty cool. Essentially, you are defending your castle, as it were, as these waves are coming in. So each wave you have to fight off in a tactic style battle. But you get to choose your teams to go into battle based on what their classes are. So like, the first one you can do, it's like the Reapers or whatever. I forget what they're called, but it's a team of these undead, like Grim Reaper type characters or whatever. Then you could choose, after they're depleted, it's not game over. You just have to choose a different team to send out. And so the second team that I'll send out will be the skeleton army, and it's like four skeleton soldiers with bows, and they can attack at a distance. So you're kind of mapping out which team you want to defend you in that wave first, just in case that team dies. You want to save your second team or third team. I think there's four to start, based on their strengths and weaknesses. Like one will say they're extremely weak. Maybe you want to put them out first to be your cannon fodder to kind of take out the weaker waves at first. And then when you're into wave three or four, maybe they'll be all dead, and then you could put out a stronger team to kind of mop everything up. So that's kind of the gameplay right now. Like I said, I'm not very far into it. I only started playing it this weekend, but if you're into tactics style RPGs, it might be something you'd be interested in. So yeah. That's Reverse.
It looks pretty
crawl.
Cool.
Yeah, it is. It's at first it just, I guess when I say it looks cheap, I just feel like it looks like it would be something that you would see shoved in your face in advertisements on a mobile, in a mobile game. Like, just
yeah,
like
I can see that.
You know what I mean? Like just like thousands of characters, millions of coins. Like it just looks like that, but there isn't that. It's just, it's a game. It's a full-fledged, fully featured game. It just has that art style, but I enjoyed the few moments that I've had with it this weekend, and that unfortunately is all I've been playing, aside from playing Duck Game with you, Andy, last week.
That's all. That was so much fun.
That was a blast. All right,
but
so
when you play it all, it's really, really sad, and it makes you want to take your own life.
So that's what we're playing right now, but what could we be playing this week? It is time to get into the releases of the week. Let's see. I'm going to copy this into the doc so that Adam, you could follow around the bouncing ball. We get all of our releases on Nintendo.com. So if they don't have it listed here, we're not talking about it. All right. What do we got? Oh, Shakedown Hawaii. Finally coming. Nintendo Dual Screen Superfan Zach is going to be absolutely thrilled about this.
I'm excited about this.
You bypassed the week's most important release, and that's Car Mechanic Manager. So I don't know why you're skipping to Shakedown, which no one cares about, to be honest.
You want
to?
You make fun, but Car Mechanic Manager, that could be game of the year.
That's next week's guest.
Actually,
you
know what?
People love those.
I love me some Sim games, and this looks like it's a top tier.
It looks very Kyrosoft style.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Though I think Meow Motors is more your speed.
That is absolutely 100% accurate. Yeah, let's take a look at that. I want to look at that one. Meow Motors. Oh, they have rockets. Andy. Oh, Andy, this actually looks good. Oh, Andy, this is a problem.
It looks lower than Nicotine Racing.
Do you see that third screenshot? There is a cat getting eaten by a shark.
Yep, I see it.
While he's driving. Okay, this might be... We need to write an email. I need this video game in my life.
I need sharks to eat cats more than
video games. You also shouldn't gloss over Puyo Puyo Champions.
Oh, no, we're not glossing over that.
Oh, man.
Puyo Puyo is an addiction. It's a problem.
Yeah, I try to avoid every Puyo Puyo because I get... It's that and Tetris and Dr. Mario, those ones, I'm obsessed.
Yeah, it becomes... It's essentially a getting shit done deterrent.
Yeah.
Definitely not fun.
Yeah, and then you make a game that's just like that. So I don't know what's wrong with you.
That's fair. It's because I make the games that I want to play.
There you go. And that's all we can do, isn't it? All right. So moving on along, what else we got on this list that's a standout for us? Saints Row.
Saints Row. Yeah.
Okay. Saints Row the Third.
The full package. The full ding dong comes.
Full package XL. And there's our friend. Yeah, there's our friend Reverse Crawl, which is coming out on the 10th. That may or may not be why I didn't say it was good or bad in my little conversation, because I may be under an embargo until the 10th.
Right, but do you recommend games you don't like?
I can neither confirm or deny that. Lovecraft's Untold Stories? That seems like an Andy-ass Andy game.
No, my game is My Big Sister.
Oh, God.
Which I'm pretty sure I found it on Pornhub at one time. Pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Believe it or not, that Rock of Ages 2 is actually a pretty stellar game.
Where the hell is it?
It's the 14th. I had that on PC originally, the first and the second one, and it's a very bizarre game where you literally just roll a ball and try and smash into everything, and there's versus modes and whatnot, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's a sneak peek, because that's next week's list. We're only going up to the 10th, apparently, because there.
Oh, well.
The 13th is the next show, so there you go. So Rock of Ages 2, if you want to pre-purchase... Oh, you can't even pre-purchase it on the website. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, let's get into the lead story. I want to talk about your Ding Dong.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, right? Ding Dong XL was all the rage in the podcast sphere. Every single podcast I was listening to at the time that you came out with that game on mobile, they were talking about Ding Dong XL. I'm talking about Giant Bomb. I'm talking about Giant Beast Cast. I'm talking about... one of our sister podcasts, Game Stuff, Kalai was nuts about Ding Dong XL, loved the Ding Dong. Jared Petty on everything he went on, from Game Scoop to I don't think he was on that. It was when he was doing his tour of IGN when they invited him back to do all the shows. He mentioned it on every single show. Kind of Funny Games Daily, Kind of Funny Games Cast, just every, you name it, Ding Dong XL was being spoken about. So for those of you who apparently live under a podcast rock, and don't know about Ding Dong XL, Adam, tell us what Ding Dong XL is.
Well, Ding Dong XL is a very basic arcade score chaser, and it's a one button game where you start with an orb on the top of the screen, you press the button, you touch your screen, whatever device you're on, and it moves to the other side. Top to bottom, bottom to top. And all you have to do is make sure that when you're doing that, you avoid the obstacles and collect power-ups. That's it.
That's it. That's literally it. And the soundtrack is banging, or at least the one song. I don't know. Maybe there's a million songs, and I can't get to them because I only get up to 100 points. But all the shapes and obstacles changed. It's vibrant as F, neon colors. It's almost as if you almost get sucked into like the rhythm of the song, which I don't recommend you do. one of the cool mechanics that you have there is if you wait too long, you get too big, and then your little icon will explode. Excuse me. So like you do kind of have to move back and forth. I don't understand how people get 500, 600, 700 points on this thing. I just don't get it.
All I heard was that your ding dong gets big and it explodes.
Correct.
That's all I heard come out of your mouth.
Yeah. So the max score I've seen is 302, and it's actually Jared Petty.
That son of a bitch.
He is currently like on Steam. If I look at the world leaderboards, and I looked earlier today, he is still at the head of the pack.
There might be some cheaters on mobile. Maybe there's cheaters. Let's see.
There is, and they get cleaned up here and there.
Uh-huh.
It's really difficult to deal with them on mobile. They don't give us the best tools. And there is also going to be online leaderboards soon on the Switch version.
Nice.
As soon as I'm finished figuring out how the hell to make that happen.
Nickervision. That's it right there. I'm loading up my game because I want to see what the high score is now. oh man, I have so many stars to use. Where's Porty? Can I get Porty on here too? I can.
Yep.
And I can get Jared's face.
Yep.
Oh,
and
awesome.
Kirk Scott is in there. And there's a secret that nobody's found yet.
Wait, how do you hide secrets in this game?
It's more of a method of how people used to hide secrets in games that for some reason's forgotten. Something from when I was a child. Like, for instance, Mortal Kombat, when I was a child, there was a specific stage or a specific time. If you uppercutted a guy at a certain thing, a thing would happen. And then if you press a button combination, another thing would happen. And,
right.
You know, it's something along those lines.
Interesting. Well,
someone will find it.
Boy, I like you.
It makes your ding-dong extra special.
It does. It does. All right. Leaderboard. Let's see. I just annihilated myself. I am ranked 876th in the world.
Oh, reasonable.
The Joker D15 is bullshit with 694 points.
Yeah,
fucking
there's no way.
Liar.
Is that
so the
Google?
Top three are clearly cheaters because the top three are 694, 671, 577, and then it drops all the way down to 276. James Casella.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're fucking cheating.
Is that Android?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
genius.
Now I made a note, and
fucking
I will look at
cheaters.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's kind of your shtick here. You like to make simple arcade games. Can you take us back into the young adolescent mind of Adam Nickerson when you were starting this on this adventure of making simple video games?
Oh, okay. So 3 years ago?
Exactly.
No, it's been a long time ago.
When you know how many games that you've made in that in those 3 years, it could kind of like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting. A lot of people say, how do you make this small, tight game like this and, you know, just perfect the little things? And, you know, the trick is not that I planned it all that way. It's that I can't make bigger, better, cooler games yet. So I am limited by my ability. And so I make these small games as I'm learning to make bigger games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's if we go back, my first game, which is no longer available on the store, was a free-to-play game on Google Play. And it was called Fallopian Frenzy.
Love it.
Sensing a theme here.
So, okay, now, bear with me. So, Fallopian Frenzy, that one's on purpose. Because that was I had a dream that I had created an app called Fallopian Frenzy. And so then I made an endless runner where you're a sperm avoiding condoms and all sorts of various things trying to survive as long as you can.
Contraception?
Yeah. And it was... it's pretty silly, but people liked it, and I think it got like 15,000-20,000 downloads on Google Play, and I was kind of like, oh, man, I got the bug.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
I started making these little ones, and they were free to play with ads, and I made Bing Bong. And this is why I try to explain that Ding Dong wasn't intentional. Bing Bong is called Bing Bong. Because I asked my girlfriend what I should name this app, and she said, well, just name it what it's doing. And it was binging and bonging from either side and making a little noise, and so I made it that. Ding Dong rolled around when I was making it. I was like, what the hell's it doing? It's dinging and donging. And I named it that. And it wasn't until everyone on Kinda Funny started with the jokes that I was like, oh my God, what have I done?
So you didn't even realize the naming convention was a little, phallic.
I just hadn't considered it. For whatever reason, I understand why everyone says it is. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me.
you do understand that it's the XL that's the problem here, right?
Yeah.
Like, the ding-dong would be one thing.
There's nothing wrong about that at all.
Okay, let me explain that portion, too. So, originally, I made a game called Ding Dong. And,
right.
Like, when I was making games for Apple and Google, just on the stores, like, free-to-play games. And when I decided to move some of my games to Steam, I thought, okay, I can't just port a mobile game. I have to bring a larger version that has these features like customizable controls or resolution changes and so on. So I was like, okay, well, I'll add features and I'll just call it the XL version, extra large. And then they just all kind of stuck with XL.
You should have gone like all in and call it Ding Dong Magnum.
I was just going to say that. I was going the same joke, and I'm sure he's heard that plenty of times.
Well, listen, is this like your top selling game so far of your entire history of game development?
Believe it or not, it's not. It is doing exceptionally well. I've actually had some kind of, I would call them massive hits that nobody's ever heard of on Steam. Like BitBlaster XL and Orbit XL are these two $1 games, similar idea with very basic controls that have done exceptionally well. I think BitBlaster is probably nearing 500,000.
You got the soundtrack
sales in the 3 years. Yeah, and it comes with the soundtrack, which a guy made the royalty-free soundtrack, and we talked about it, and he's like, yeah, by all means, give it away with the game, and it's just a little shoot 'em up.
Oh, shit, and, this looks good.
And Orbit.
Do you foresee this game being your best-selling game ever?
So, since I came onto the Switch, that is like life-changing for me. That is an achievement. I had been pitching Switch games and been getting turned down, but now that this got its attention and Greg Miller yelled at Nintendo, and then Kirk Scott, who is the indie guy at Nintendo, reached out, and he's just absolutely lovely, and he helped sort me out a development kit, and I was off to the races in a couple weeks, and it was up and running on the Switch, and I can't wait to bring some more games to Switch.
Let's say that this game does become your best-selling game of your entire history. Would you pledge right now on this podcast to legally change your name into Adam Dickerson?
I wouldn't say I'd pledge it, but I will tell you, growing up, Dickerson was a thing.
Of course it was. Of course it was. Oh, God, of course it was. And Hannah Montana ruined my life for a good 2.5 years. That asshole. My last name doesn't even start with an M. Ugh, whatever. It was a thing. Yep. So do you think this is now the path you're going to be taking? Because I mean, you turn these games out pretty quickly. You know, you have an idea, you make the idea, you get it out there, you do the thing. Mm-hmm. Is the Switch going to be like a landing spot now for you? Or are you going to still stick to mobile? See what's you know, sticks to the wall, as it were, and then bring the best of the best over to the Switch? Like, what's going to be your plan there?
Well, I kind of have a weird thing that doesn't necessarily fit with making tons of money. I just like people to play my games, and so I like to get them out there as much as I can, however sure. I can. So let's say a lot of people have been sending me emails since they've seen Ding Dong on the Switch, that they want to see stuff like BitBlaster and Orbit come to the Switch. And so I've been looking into those things, but I've also got a million of these Google Keep Post-it notes with all sorts of dumb little ideas like Ding Dong that I just sit down and I craft these games in a couple weeks and see what happens. And if they're good and they feel good and other people tell me they feel good, then they get released.
So you mentioned that you had somebody that did the soundtrack and what, and you know, for Bit Blaster and all that stuff. So what's your process as far as getting other people involved? Because, you know, I imagine there's some aspects of making a game that you don't necessarily do yourself. So, like, how do you work out those relationships?
So Bit Blaster was a unique case for me because it was actually originally just had one song from that artist. His artist name was Spifftune, and he had it on his SoundCloud. And then I reached out to him as I was making additions for the XL version with new ships, and I wanted each ship to have a new song. And he showed me his catalog of music and offered up certain songs. And I was like, you know, I'll be giving this away on here. Like, I know you're giving away for free, but how can I credit you in the game also? Because he also gives it away free on his SoundCloud.
Right.
And okay. he was more than thrilled just to have more exposure because I had no idea my game would ever sell anything anyways. Past right. that, I do everything myself.
Wow.
When it comes to music, I tend to go to royalty free music sites. I find a song and then you buy a license to it.
Sure.
So let's say I pay a couple $100 and then I can use it in perpetuity in a specific app or game. But past that, I am such an OCD picky person that I don't know how I'd work with anyone else ever again.
Well, eventually those ambitious projects, like the bigger ones that you do want to make. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, you read the tea leaves in this, like you're taking a path that is obviously getting you some recognition, especially in the independent, you know, developer sphere. But now that like Nintendo, the Nindies guy has, you know, you have his attention. You know what I mean? Like there's, you're going to scale up at some point. Like what, and I'm asking this question, not necessarily as like directed specifically towards you, but like we have a lot of devs, we have a lot of listeners that want to do it, or, you know, a very good friend of mine who listens to the show, he does do it. He's a single, you know, dev guy but he makes very ambitious, large projects. Can you speak a little bit about like, how do you see yourself tackling those projects, the bigger projects, the things that you may not be able to do on your own? What's going to be your plan of attack on that?
Okay. Yeah. So that's really interesting because it's kind of my whole thing has been, the key to my development, not only is just patience, but keeping scope as reasonable as possible. Because yeah, I've personally known developers who, yes, they take on a bigger scope game, but that also comes with like pretty serious emotional attachment to your project too,
right,
which really will, you know, change where your development goes or how committed you are to it and so on and so forth. Whereas if I, you know, if you keep it small, it's a lot easier to just kind of be like, oh, well, I wasted 2 weeks on that. Toss it. Let's move on to the next thing. So I can't necessarily speak on that aspect of it, like getting involved in the big long one. But if I were to, it would have to kind of operate in the same way I do now, whereas I attack a single aspect of the game at a time. I don't... When I start making the game, I need it to be fun to play the moment I start creating it. So as an example, Ding Dong, I wrote it down on paper. All this is my general idea. The first time I was playing with a single shape that I was trying to avoid, if I didn't immediately be like, oh, okay, this feels right or this feels fun, then something was wrong. It needs to kind of work from the beginning. So in my mind, it's weird because people do always ask about the larger scope things. I don't, as weird as this sounds, I don't see the big thing until it's capable.
Gotcha. So like by the time you get to something that is a larger scale, you already got all the other stuff out of the way. So you're kind of just more prepared to take those steps naturally and kind of,
yeah, I imagine it'll grow organically as if I'm building a bigger game. If I'm like, oh, well, the scope needs to grow, then organically I'm going to be like, oh, well, you know what? Maybe I need someone to do this art because I suck at art. Or maybe I need someone to do the programming because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. In all honesty, I don't know how the hell I made these games. I'm not a programmer. I'm not an artist. I don't. They just, you know, I don't know what happened.
I mean, that's incredibly inspiring to some. I know that one of our listeners, one of our good friends, Maltese, he is a programmer, but he's never done video games, and he wants to do video games. Like, that's his thing. Like, he's like, as a hobby, he wants to get in there and learn how to make a video game. And you know, to know that you come in here just like a blind squirrel, just trying to figure shit out, and you make a few mega, you know, mega hits from using your goals, like your aspirations there.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Well, and I would say that when it comes to advice, I always tell people, you know, anyone with the means to be able to make a game can make a game, and it is getting easier every day for people to create, and with a lot of patience and, you know, trying things, trial and error, puzzling things out. If you enjoy puzzles, it's good fun to try and figure out how things work. You can download free templates and kind of poke around and see how they work. You can reach out to all sorts of indie developers, which a ton I reached out to would provide me, you know, even if it was just a paragraph of just a couple helpful tips on what to focus on when it comes to design or what store or just anything anyone can offer is very helpful. And I'm willing to offer up that advice to anyone too. If they email me with specific questions, by all means.
See, that sounds really fun and dandy, Adam, but now all of my time has gone to playing your stupid game.
Yeah.
So, thank you for crushing those dreams of being a game developer. In any way, shape, or form. So, I really want to ask you, why do you think I have nothing better to do than play your game all goddamn day long?
My thought is everybody needs something to do when they're sitting on the toilet, when they're on the bus. And I just didn't understand the larger, you know, microtransaction-y games and can't really get my brain behind them. So I was like, I just want a game where I just poke at the screen. And then and then I made them.
Listen, we were playing with our Ding Dongs on the toilet long before your game came along. So that's
he's got a point. He's got a very valid point. Yeah, one of the things that, I mean, it's just, it's you know what it is? It's got some sort of hypnotic qualities to it. Oh, and you added something. You added the word blip. I've noticed.
Yeah, so that is on the Jared Petty's character. It is a reference to his hop, skip, or...
I get it. Hop, blip, and a jump.
Hop, blip, and a jump. And just kind of a lot of the characters have a little... Like, if they're a referential thing, they have a little kind of... That's awesome. Nod to whatever the character is. Portillo explodes hot dogs and bow ties, so.
That's awesome. I just got 51 points, so you didn't even know I was distracted. You see how good I am at my job?
There you go, yeah.
Still have 101.
Steven, you got this.
101 is the tops for me. And you have that. You taunt us with tweet score as the top thing you can do. I'm not tweeting that garbage. Kidding me?
Oh, man. People love it. You know, a lot of people say that's like, I have that, for instance, on the Steam version, the tweeting of the score. And people are like, oh, this is a very mobile thing. But you would not believe the amount of people that engage in that. And that's just a kind of one of these things that a developer tipped me off on. It's like you want your players to engage with each other and tell each other their scores because there's that competitive aspect that's just fun to play with other people.
Yeah, and it's definitely a problem. And Andy, you are going down, motherfucker.
If there is like a bottom 10 best of, I will gladly submit my score for that one.
You know what it is? You know what it is?
Yay, it's those three. Sticks.
It's the sticks. They get me every time, those little fuckers. Those little stick guys. I hate them.
Oh, and they'll be different sizes too, right?
Yeah, those little bastards. Those little bastards. Yeah. It's hard to get. Hey. It's hard to like get them to shave them, as I like to call it, to shaving the edge. Yeah. It's hard to get the sticks. It's hard.
Yeah, I call those near misses. Which is, I don't know, when I say near miss, when someone asks me, oh, well, you got to near miss the object, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know why I called it near miss.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell that means.
You should have called it a near hit. It's a Carlin joke right there.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. George Carlin, RIP. All right, so let's move along to our Nintendo news report. We have four items on the report plus a bonus item, which I added right at the end there. That was something that popped up this afternoon. To start us off here, Andy, why don't you take it away here? Get us into the Nintendo news report. Take that first story.
So speaking of indie games you will all want to play very, very soon, Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the NecroDancer may be coming out sooner than we expect. So in the Nintendo Europe newsletter, they were going through their May releases. And in between Resident Evil and Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered, there's a little notice for Cadence of Hyrule. Now, it's listed as Spring 2019, but that could be until maybe towards mid-June. That's when Spring officially ends. But this has it listed for maybe in May.
You never know.
So let's have that happen.
That'd be nice. That is the most surprising and amazing-looking project that I kid you not, I know people that actually worked on that project, and I had no idea that project was coming. That's how secretive Nintendo is.
Yeah.
For next week will be these guys.
It seems like Adam's a good person to know.
If you had this chance, Adam, to work with Nintendo for a collaboration, what would you pick?
There's one thing that really needs to be redone. And you can do it either way. You can either go the Metroid route,
uh-huh,
or pull up Kid Icarus.
Mm-hmm.
Kid Icarus needs something new to it. Something that's nothing against the 3DS ones, because I'm sure they were great for their audience. It's just there's something about Kid Icarus that needs to kind of be brought back. I've always enjoyed that one.
Well, speaking of things that are old being brought back, we have some upcoming Switch Online NES games coming out. And the selection is a little bit, a little lukewarm.
To see, I would say so.
Donkey Kong Jr. We got Clue Land, and we got Versus Excitebike.
It's a weird list. It's a strange.
Yeah,
list.
I mean,
Donkey Kong Jr. is okay,
right? But these are just, I don't know. These games
are
more
Versus.
Like you play for 5 minutes and you put them away, and that's kind of it.
Multiplayer Excitebike, as far as what I remember. I could be wrong. Let's take a look.
Oh.
Maybe.
Because I might just be an idiot. Hold on.
Yeah, it looked like it was a second version released like 4 years after the fact.
It's a two-player. It came out on the Wii U eShop. There's a review here.
It's the ultimate version of an NES classic, according to Nintendo.
It just looks like they added two players to Excitebike.
Right.
Like it's a racing game.
That's what makes it ultimate.
They should have just said Excitebike XL if we're really being.
Well, it's got new tracks and a new soundtrack.
Sure.
And let's remember, Excitebike is designed by Miyamoto.
Indeed.
Yes, it is.
So, Adam, you're an indie dev now. You're officially making nindies. Did you hear about this indie game that was removed from the Switch eShop because some dev did some silly shit?
I did hear about this.
Yes. So, Amir Rahan, Rajan? Rahan or Rajan? I don't know. He snuck in to the game's code if you plug in a USB keyboard and then press the, what is that, the little squiggly line? What is that called? It has a name.
Tilde.
Tilde. Yeah, whatever. You can just open up some shit. And it becomes a Ruby machine, which I don't know what that means, but at the same time, that's probably problematic.
Now, he does, in his defense, he does say that he did it in good faith as a way to, it's a very limited version of that program to help people learn on a system they already have better programming or so on and so forth. And I would love to believe everything about that, but whether or not that's true, it's still a clear breach of any contract you're signing with Nintendo, saying, hey, you know, I'm releasing this game, I'm not hiding things in it.
Right. Yeah, like that's to, I don't see anything wrong with including this. I would, what obviously is the issue is that he clearly did not get this through certification. Like, this game was certified without knowing that that was a thing that was going to happen. So, like, yeah, that's a problem. Hopefully they don't blacklist him from being able to put anything up. Yeah. Like, if he's just like, all right, I'll remove it, or I'll try and recertify with it. Like, I'll remove it from the current game, but I would like to recertify it with this in here because I think it's really important. Or just release it as its own thing. Like, release it as its, you know, put in a Ruby editor or whatever. Like, I don't know, maybe he doesn't have the rights to it. I don't know how that works, but, like, maybe that's something he could put in there. Put it for free, let people mess around. I don't know.
Thing is, like, why are you announcing an Easter egg on Twitter? I don't get that.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
But it's also kind of like, you look at it and it's like, how certain can you be that you've installed this kind of development scenario or environment without a bad actor coming along and knowing, oh, we're going to utilize this specific game from now on to crack our Nintendo Switch, right? And so Nintendo has to be very cautious about those type of things, and they just can't allow it.
Right. And then when you blast it on Twitter, it's like, well, yeah, of course you're going to get removed from the eShop. It's like, hey, guys, maybe hack your Switch one day. Buy my game right now. Yeah. And then, yep, that's going to go away really quick.
All right. Surprise. There's a surprise release on Switch from the Death Squared developer, SMG Studio. OTTTD was just, here it is. It's on Switch, I guess. This actually looks pretty cool. They describe their own game as Spaceballs meets Starship Troopers. Of course, most people under 30 have no idea what Spaceballs is, but, you know, I do, so we're going to go with it. So this looks like it's a tower defense and real-time strategy game kind of wrapped up in one. It actually looks really cool, but this thing just popped up out of nowhere. So, okay, I'm just going to read it. This is from Nintendo Everything. SMG Studio, developer of Death Squared, has announced that it's putting the tower defense real-time strategy mashup OTTTD on Switch. The best part, it's essentially out now. In Europe, you could already purchase this game, and it'll be live in North America in the European eShop's update tomorrow. So this was news from today. So as of Monday, when the eShop updates, I think here on the East Coast, New York City, I believe that's 1 p.m. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it's 1 p.m., but I don't know. So yeah, check that. I mean, it looks really cool. It's a really cool concept. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, it is shadow dropping. Well, I guess it's not a shadow anymore, but here it is. It's here. And then a bit of surprising news to wrap up the Nintendo News Report. Andy, did you see this?
This is kind of nuts.
Isn't it? Isn't it, though?
But I'm not surprised at the same time.
So,
buy it.
The Mario Kart Wii sold 5 times as many copies as Mario Kart 8 for Wii U during last fiscal year.
Okay, wait. I'm sorry. Are you saying Mario Kart Wii?
Yes. Mario Kart Wii, okay, sold 5 times as many as Mario Kart 8, which is for Wii U, last year.
Oh my goodness.
Which, by the way, last year, Mario Kart 9, whatever the hell they call it. What do they call
8
that one?
Complete or Ultimate 8 Deluxe, or something.
Whatever they're calling it, yeah.
Deluxe, that's
Mario
what
Kart
it is.
8 Deluxe was out. So Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was out on Switch. We know it sold a gajillion copies. But in that same time period, Mario Kart Wii sold 5 times as much as Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U.
That is insanity.
Mm-hmm. Mario Kart Wii sold 100,000 copies.
Jeez.
What?
Like, that's the thing. You look at any of these top selling software lists of all time, and Mario Kart is at the top of everything. It's always, there's like six Mario Karts in the top list. Mario Kart is a weird entity that just, it doesn't matter what it is, it just sells.
People right, just but you know, sometimes cars. You get a new release and it struggles to break that 100K unit sold mark in its first week. Yeah. You're having a game from two gens back selling 100,000 units.
Maybe I guess when you can... I guess when you consider how many Wiis are out there.
Right.
It suddenly starts to be like, wait, you know what? If there's that many in existence, the odds of this happening are weirdly high.
Did China just get a Wii? Is that what happened? I know they got the Switch recently.
China did do something where they no longer outlawed consoles, so... Yeah,
but you can't kill anybody.
Yeah, no skeletons.
You can't have... It's just... China's weird, man. China's
for perspective,
weird.
Lifetime sales for Mario Kart Wii are 37.2 million as opposed to 8.4 million for Mario Kart 8 on the Wii U.
Jeez.
Why are people still buying it? That's the story here, Andy.
Well, isn't that didn't they do a whole like the Shield, Nvidia Shield could do Wii games?
Yeah, but that had the games pre-built. They weren't selling games.
Yeah, they were streamed.
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe someone built a fort out of old Mario Kart cartridges for the Wii.
Or that somebody, is outrageous.
Somebody's like, hey, you know what would be a really cool prank? If we just bought a bunch of Wii copies of Mario Kart. Buy exactly,
what a freighter.
Yeah, buy exactly five to every one Wii U copy you buy. I don't know. That's just weird. Anyway, that's not even the hype zone. That's the issue here, Adam, is that there is a story this week that's actually more hype than Mario Kart Wii selling five times more than Mario Kart Wii U last fiscal year. Andy, I'm going to hand this hype zone over to you like the baby bird that it is. Take it away, buddy.
Guys, it's about to get groovy up in this bitch. Because Earthworm Jim, he is back.
Back in action.
We have waited for over 20 years for
Andy,
a brand new Earthworm Jim game.
Andy.
Steven.
I cannot wait to play this on my PlayStation 4.
I can't wait to play on my Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I can't wait to play. Hell, I can't wait to play this on my mobile device.
But you can't, Steven.
What do you mean? No, I can't play Earthworm Jim on the hottest consoles?
There's a secret story here within this hype zone.
Okay.
Because Earthworm Jim, it's brand new. It's new sequel.
Uh-huh.
Is coming out exclusively to the console to beat all consoles.
Uh-huh.
The Intellivision Amico.
What?
And I think listen with me. Stay with me here. Stay with me. I think we need to retool this podcast to make way for the true juggernaut of the games industry, the Amico. I mean, the Switch is now dead as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
Because when you can launch with Earthworm Jim, one of the great IPs of our lifetime.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Sony? What are you doing, Microsoft? And
I don't,
Phil Spencer.
Microsoft's out there buying studios. Yeah, they're buying studios left and right, and they let this just slip under their nose.
You let Amico get this?
What were they thinking?
That's the key, though. This is the secret genius. That is the Amico, which sounds like Amigo.
They have a good launch set up here with Earthworm Jim. Then they can do some sort of cow launch. And then it'll generate a lot of publicity as they destroy a cow, clearly.
Here's the thing.
You guys.
Here's the thing, though. Okay. Exclusively on the Intellivision Amico.
No, wait, Steven. Okay.
No, wait. Hold on.
Just say it out loud one more time.
Exclusively on the Intellivision Amico.
That's it.
Okay. Hold on. So the Amico is coming out. Is due out on October 10th, 2020. Okay. It's a year and a half from now. Ish. No, almost exactly. All right. A year and a half from now, the Amico comes out. Is that enough time to develop a AAA title like Earthworm Jim?
Does it have to be?
I mean, if it's going to be a launch title. You
can only play this game on the Amico.
Yeah, but the real talk, the Amico might not be around long enough for Earthworm Jim to actually come out for the damn thing. I mean, it could, for all we know, this could be Ouya 2.
The Ouya Tuya?
Yeah, the Ouya Tuya.
Listen, if this deal made any sense for Intellivision, it would have to be that this game was a launch title for their system, because it's going to die a quiet death before this game comes out for the console.
So, Intellivision Entertainment is a renamed company of a renamed company, etc., because these names have kind of been everywhere. But I had to double check, and I am correct. Tommy Tallarico is the president of Intellivision Entertainment. Tommy Tallarico of Video Games Live fame, and wow, that is going to be this is Electric Playground Reviews on the Run. Tommy Tallarico.
Listen, Adam, I know that it was a big deal getting your game on the Switch, but your ding dong's in the wrong hands.
Looks like I'm going to have to send an email to Tommy and, yes. Hey, can we get a ding dong on the, what was it called?
The Amico.
The Amico.
So I sent you the link to the Amico in the chat.
Yeah.
It looks interesting. It's definitely a novel concept. It's a console that has just one button. Or at least it looks like it anyway. Well, it has this one big circle pad and then a bunch of buttons on the side, but it looks like a phone essentially. Comes with two of them. They have the screens on the little controller as well. This looks like the perfect Ding Dong XL port machine, if you ask me. You know how many Ding Dongs you could put on this thing?
A lot.
You could put all
depends
of them.
Depends on how powerful is it.
Of various sizes.
Yeah.
We could do a Ding Dong XXL.
You could do a double Ding Dong, one for each controller.
Oh, you can already do that in Ding Dong XL.
That's true.
Ding Dong Dose. Four way.
This is a strange looking device.
Yeah, definitely.
How do we play Earthworm Jim on this?
Good question. It's a very good question. Right. And with that question, we're going to get out of the hype zone. All right. It is everybody's favorite segment. It is back, Andy. It's back. It's ready to go.
What was the last game we did for this a month ago?
Fuck. I don't know.
Remember?
I have no idea. It's not in the thing. But it was a long time ago. But it is my turn to give you the game. So, Adam, you are going to team up with Andy and in the Retro Game Club. And here is how the game works. I am going to give 10 clues, one by one. Okay? Mm-hmm. After each clue, you could choose to either get the next clue or render a guess. But you only get 3 guesses total as a team. The quicker you get it, the more points your team gets. Right now, Andy is trailing 13 to 15. It took me a lot of weeks to get to 15. So Andy could probably just blow this out of the water. That's me with getting, I've gotten 2 zeros this year.
All right.
2. So we consider retro anything that was released on the GameCube and back. This will be a game that was on a Nintendo console, not necessarily exclusive, but it will be on Nintendo to keep things in theme. There will be 10 clues, as I said. So clue number 1 will be worth 10 points. Clue number 2 will be worth 9 points, and so on and so forth. I only wrote down 3 clues or 5 clues, and then I got sidetracked. So hopefully you get it before then. Otherwise, I'm scrambling. Okay. Do you understand the rules? Oh.
I think I do.
There's one more thing. If you would like to ask a yes or no question, you can do so, but your team forfeits a guess.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. All right. And if you don't get it, your 3 guesses, you lose. You get 0 points, as I've done many times. Clue number 1 for 10 points. This game is the second in a series. The clues get a little bit more obvious as we go along. Obviously, the first one needs to be a little pretty 99% vague.
Right. Okay. So it's a part 2.
Yeah. There's a million things we'll be able to go from there, but it's I guess it all depends on what era it's from, too.
Sure. So we can go to the next clue.
Definitely.
Time. All right, Steven.
For 9 points, the number eight. The number eight.
Oh, man. So, I'm sorry, if I remember correctly, it was GameCube and earlier?
Yes.
Era?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Could be on a handheld. It could be, you know, Game Boy, Game Boy Advance.
I have a thing in my head already.
No, only please, eight. You can share.
The only eight I'm thinking about is Vigilante 8, which is a car combat game that was just awesome. Well, it's probably terrible now, but it was awesome when I played it. And there was a sequel called Second Offense, if I remember correctly. And I bet you that sequel was not only on N64 and Game Boy Advance, but, you know, so it's a thought.
You know what? I think I would like to crush Steven's lead right now. And it seems like a good guess. We're early in the game. If you get it wrong, we're two guesses in. That's totally fine. So let's go. We'll lock in a guess, Steven. Vigilante 8, Second Offense. For the N64?
That is incorrect.
Oh, fuck you.
You're really hoping for it.
That was a good path.
I liked your logic. Sound logic.
Yeah. I trust my teammates, so that's how it goes over
here. Clue number three for 8 points.
Go ahead.
Simulated 3D sprites. Simulated 3D sprites.
What the hell does that even mean? Simulated 3D sprites. Huh. Eight.
Andy's shitty podcast setup right now makes it so that I could hear when he's cheating.
Do you hear me cheating as we speak?
I know that cell phone's out. I can tell you that much. You big old cheater. I got my cell phone right here.
I'm trying to think of what exactly simulated 3D sprites would mean. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Are we talking like games like a StarCraft where it looks 3D, but it's flat in a sense?
Yeah. Simulated 3D sprites. I think we have to move on to the next hint.
Good. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Clue number four for 7 points. This series is still active today.
Oh, God, these clues suck.
The series is still active today. There is a lot of those.
There's a lot of games that have more than two games in their series.
Yeah.
Sprites, though.
So this is the sequel. It's an eight. Or the number eight. Something about the number eight.
I don't know what's up the eight, though. If it's in the title or if it's...
Yeah, it could be anything. It's too vague.
It's way vague. Yeah, I don't know.
Literally nothing else is coming.
Nothing's coming to mind. That's why I'm drawing all the blanks.
Well, Steven, we got to move on.
You can go on. Move on, Steven.
This game is known for its multiplayer action. And that's all the clues I wrote down, so I'm going to have to write some new ones on the fly.
Multiplayer action.
Multiplayer, the number eight.
Still going to this day, so...
The spray thing is really getting me, though. That's the one thing that's sticking out, because it's definitely not a 2D, like a basic 2D sprite game. Something like the visuals are different.
Yeah, that's true.
Multiplayer.
What were the games that had simulated 3D sprites? Well, again, the 8 sticks out too in simulated 3D sprites, but I'm just trying to think, like, we have our Mario Party still going on. We have Dragon Quest would have already jumped ship before then.
Right, but you said it was the second in the series, though, so
yeah.
It can't be like the eighth sequel. It's just something with the word eight in it. Maybe.
Hmm.
I hope.
Yeah.
Is it like eight players?
And that's yeah. It could be like Madden 98. known for its multiplayer action. So we could also think of Bomberman games.
Okay.
Because they did all sorts of sprite games and then also 3D games. But again, that simulated sprite kind of gets in there. And there was a Bomberman 98. And if I remember correctly, so there is an 8 there. And it's, but I don't know if it's the second one. I don't think it is. I can't think of anything else. We're probably going to have to move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
If he comes up with another clue.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going Wikipedia right now as we speak.
4-player split screen. This is clue number 6.
Can I get a clarification?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. This is for 5 points. 4-player split screen. Yes, you may.
Is that the maximum 4 players?
That's not a clarification.
That's
a yes or no question.
Because something is like 4 to 8 players. So can you say 4?
That's
players.
Not. No, that's that. No.
To clarify on that.
Nope, that's not a clarification. That's a yes or no question.
No, I have to clarify.
Nope.
Is it the maximum of players?
Not allowing it.
No, yes, no. That's
don't make me.
That's not fair.
Don't make me call Colton. Because I'll do it. I'll call him. Because
if it was,
right,
let's say, so you're saying for future games, if it's a 4-player, like I can say 2-player game. That's a little misleading, you don't think?
No.
You don't think?
I'm telling you, this game has 4-player split screen.
So at the very least, it's 64 GameCube.
It'd have to be with a split
because
screen. Because
while there were 4-player games for the Super Nintendo, they didn't do 4-player split screen.
Right.
Any of the 4-player games. So it's a sequel on 64 GameCube. Number 8.
That's getting me though. The number
simulated 3D sprites. Sequel number 8, simulated 3D sprites. Known for its multiplayer combat
action multiplayer.
Multiplayer
action, yeah. Don't look too far into the word action. It was a flavor text.
Known for multiplayer.
Yeah.
It's annoying. I worry that we're going to be missing something so obvious.
We are.
I mean, yeah.
Also, that smug response from Steven pretty much guarantees we're missing something very obvious.
Right. Well, the number 8 is really sticking to me.
I mean, it was an early clue, so it doesn't. It's not necessarily going to be literal.
Okay.
He has somehow made the number 8 even more vague.
Yes. Oh, God.
Would you like the next clue for 4 points?
We'll take it.
All right. There are 4 game modes in this game, one of which is time trial.
Okay, maybe it could be... No.
Oh.
Yes?
I know what it is.
Tell me.
It is something stupidly obvious. And it is something we've literally been discussing already.
Okay.
Do you want me to say what it is?
Let's discuss. I'm all ears.
Simulated 3D sprites?
Uh-huh.
It is Mario Kart 64.
Ooh,
second in the series.
Second in the series. And you know what? We do have Mario Kart in our news today.
We talked about 8.
Steven isn't that lazy to pick a game from the news.
But potentially the 8 means 8 characters.
And are there 8 characters in the game?
There is.
Time trial does make sense.
Time trials, battle, GP. Mm-hmm.
And is known for multiplayer action.
Is there a 4th mode?
You know what? You know what, Adam? We have what? If we get this wrong, we're down to 1 guess. I think if we miss this, we have nowhere else to go at this point.
Yeah.
So, Steven, if we get this right, is it? It's for 4 points?
Correct.
Okay. That means I'll be in the lead, which is good enough for me. Steven, is it Mario Kart 64?
It is Mario Kart 64.
Oh, you did it, Adam.
Congratulations. Congratulations. The next clue was going to be Mode 7. So, yeah, I didn't actually know that about the simulated 3D sprites. They couldn't get the characters to actually be 3D, so they just made 2D flat sprites, and whenever you turned, they just kind of rotated the flat sprites. It was weird way to do that. And then, of course, the tracks and the environments were in Mode 7. That was like the second game, I think, to use it, I believe. I think it was the first on N64. No, the original
that
Mario Kart,
Super NES.
Yeah, the original Mario Kart uses Mode 7. This game abandoned that because the 64 hardware could not, for whatever reason, render that. So that would have been a shitty clue anyway, but I'm glad you got it before then. So yeah,
it would have helped. I'm very aware of the Mode 7 games.
Yeah. So we had Grand Prix, Time Trial, Versus Mode, and Battle Mode are the four modes in.
Oh yes,
Battle Mode, of course, being the fan favorite. So very.
And then somehow Battle Mode was never good past that for some reason.
I like the current version. The one.
Oh yeah, I haven't put too much time into it yet.
Yeah. I enjoy that one quite a bit. Andy, you've taken the lead now. You are at 17 points. I am at 15, and that is the Retro Game Club. So that's going to bring us to the end of the show. We did it, Andy. This is scary because that was episode 97, and we're so
really close
to 100.
I know it's really nerve wracking, but we're going to make it.
It's scary. All right, so that's going to do it. Remember, Nintendo Dual Screens is part of the Proven Gamer Podcast Network, which includes Trophy Horrors, a PlayStation podcast, and Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast. If you want to follow the show, you can do so on social media. We are at NDS Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at Pants Guy. If you want to join our Facebook group, you could do so at facebook.com/groups/NDS podcast. Nick, you are on social media at Nickervision. Is that correct?
His name is not Nick.
Oh, I'm sorry, Adam. I was reading the word Nick. I'm sorry.
No, you would not believe how often that happens.
It's
Nickervision everywhere.
Okay. This is what happens. I'm doing the flow. We almost never put the guest social at the end of the show. Or in the box that it's supposed to go in until after they tell us what it is. That for whatever reason, it's in there. Andy did like his...
He's blaming me now for his incompetence.
No. It's just what happens when I read things and I'm speaking other things. My brain can't handle those two things at once. It's just what happens.
Honestly, I'm so used to it that it doesn't even register with me. And people always feel very bad about it, but... No problem.
No, there's no feeling bad here. I'm a shit human and I'm tired of apologizing for it. Anyway, so you're at Nickervision. Where else can everybody find your stuff? Like, what do you have out there in the wild? Tell everybody.
Honestly, finding me on Twitter or discord.gg/Nickervision. Or Nickervision.com are the best ways to contact me. Find out about what I do, find dumb pictures I post of my dog, any way you want to get a hold of me, I'm okay with, as long as it's not outside my house, throwing pebbles at my window.
Okay, so let's cancel my flight. Canada, which I'm assuming is where you're from, because if I could put that, it's a large country, but I will cancel that. Okay. I just want to thank you again for coming on the show. It's been an absolute blast hanging out with you. You're a good dude. I knew you would be. Thank you so much for making this dumb little game that I can't put down. It's an absolute blast, and keep up the great work, because you're doing wonderful things. Good luck to you, and yeah, thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. We want to give a special thanks real quick before I kick it over to Andy to give us a little sneak peek of next week's, if we have a guest yet. I don't know if we do. We are contributors to the show. We have Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Dan Colonna of Dinosaur Machines Podcast for our Nintendo Dual Screens logo. And Andrew Douglas for all our podcast art. And you can follow Andrew at Angimoto, A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O. Again, Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/NDS podcast. If you want to listen to our pre and post show, which the post show is going to happen after this, Adam, if you want to stick around, you certainly can. You don't have to. Andy and I usually just bullshit for another 20 to minutes to a half an hour, talk about nothing. And it's a lot of fun. And people actually pay for that shit. So, yeah, we do that. Andy, is there anything you would like to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, please stay tuned for next week's show. We'll be having on Adam Nickerson talking about Mint Blaster sound. No, I actually right now just bought the game on Steam because it looks incredible. Wow.
Yeah, it looks
very good.
Looks good. Looks very good.
I do have one thing I want to say. That's we had a lot of fun on last month's Mortal Kombat themed episodes, and I want to dedicate those last 4 weeks to a very special member of our Dual Screens family, and that's our producer Alex Gonzalez. Alex, that was all for you, buddy. You love MK as much as I do, so that's my little nod to you for being such a great supporter of ours, and we love you. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, I want to piggyback off of that, because usually we talk more intimately about our Patreon supporters in the pre and post show, because they listen to it and like all that stuff. But there, it is very important for you listeners out there to know. Alex has been a tremendous, tremendous supporter of this show. He stumbled upon this show while he was looking for Bloodstained news, actually. And our
holy shit, dude, that's actually news we missed. They got a release date.
Oh, right. Yes.
Newsflash.
Newsflash.
Bloodstained June 25th.
It's coming,
now,
baby.
Back to the end of the show.
It's coming, baby. June 25th. Kit. Very excited. Oh boy, I hope it looks good. So yeah, he was just looking for Bloodstained stuff, and we happened to have 505 Games Roberto Pirano on the show. He was I think our third guest ever. Maybe
our second
guest. Yeah, it was like our second guest. That was like when we first started doing the whole guest thing, obviously, and like 30 or so episodes in. And he just happened to stumble on it and liked it and started kind of following us on social. And then like we launched Patreon later that year. I want to say
it was a few months after that. Yeah.
It's May. Well, it's coming up on it actually on our Patreon anniversary. And you know, has been,
that's a real word,
a supporter at our producer level on Patreon since we launched, essentially, well, a few months after we launched, and actually for Mortal Kombat month, he umped it to double that just because of how much, you know, he was just so appreciative of us doing the Mortal Kombat thing. And, you know, just Alex, the words cannot describe how much your support means to us. So thank you so much for doing that. And, we look forward to another 100 episodes of this thing with you by our side, pushing us along the way. So yeah, that's going to do it for us. Again, thank you, Adam. Thank you, Andy. That's it, folks. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 97 for the week of May 6th. And remember, if you want to listen to the post show, you got to go on Patreon, patreon.com/NDS podcast. It's not like I said it six times in this episode. Anyway, thank you so much. Until next week, it's over. We did it. As always, please be excellent to each other.